Well, good evening. We give you another warm welcome here in Innaleven Gospel Hall for the first Gospel Meeting since already of 2017. I can hardly believe where 2016's gone. I just started getting used to it being 2016, and then it goes and changes again. I must be showing my age maybe a little bit there. But I'd like to wish you all a very happy new year, and maybe a happy one for you. But we've sung this evening, haven't we? And I didn't realise Nathan was going to have that hymn until quite recently, and he said, "Only a Step." And you know, we've just taken another step into the new year, haven't we? We've just taken a step out of 2016 and into 2017. But when you take a step, you're going somewhere. You're normally going to a destination. And this evening I'd like to just look at two destinations. We're going to look at two ways, two roads, and two destinations, just briefly before we hand over to Ian later on. But we're going to start by reading in the Bible, the Word of God. If you've not got a Bible, don't worry. I'll try and read it as clearly as I can. It's in Matthew, our first reading. The Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, it says this: "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be in that go in thereat, because strait or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The strait gate, the narrow gate, the wide gate, the narrow way, the wide way. And look where they lead to, two different destinations. Back into the Old Testament for a few readings, please, into the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs and chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says this: "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Over two chapters into chapter 16. And what we'll find here in chapter 16 and verse 25 is exactly the same words. You know, everything that's in the Bible is important, but when God says something twice, it means that we really need to, it's almost like he's underlining it for us. We need to really take special attention, especially of what he's saying. Chapter 16 and verse 25, it says exactly what we just read. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Over back into the New Testament and the Gospel of Mark, please. Gospel of Mark in chapter 9. And verse 43. Mark 9:43. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to enter into hell, into the fire that is never that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, or lame into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." No solemn readings. But the Word of God is serious and needs to be listened to carefully. You know, as we enter into a new year, as we go from 2016 into 2017, you know, you'll agree with me that there's many different ways that we could go through the year. And many different people have different ideas about what they want to achieve in the year. And one of the buzzwords around this time of year is New Year's resolutions. And what are you going to do to better yourself for next year? And what are you going to do to make this year come in better than the one that's just gone? And you know, some of us don't bother. And it was said this morning, sometimes we just don't bother because we know we won't keep them. And it just shows the failings of the human heart, really, and the human will, really, because we just fail to keep those things sometimes. And sometimes we try to better ourselves. Maybe it's to exercise a bit more, or eat less chocolate, or crisps, or go to the gym, or whatever it is. And we try to do those things which try to better ourselves. You know, just not so many hours ago, a friend texted me, I texted a friend in London and said, Happy New Year to you. And he texted back and said, oh, you haven't replied to my last text. Maybe it'll be your New Year's resolution to try and reply to me a little bit more. So he recognised in me a few of my failings. But you know, every year that goes past, we realise that things have been done badly, and sometimes we could do things a little bit better. And every year goes past, and we realise that time is marching steadily on. It doesn't wait for anybody. Time and tide wait for no man, as the saying goes. And you know, we realise that we won't always be here. You know, we were just speaking at the lunch table just about a man who lived to 103 years old. But you know, even as you get to those great ages, the realisation comes that we won't always be here. That sometimes, well, for all of us, life will come to an end. You know, I wonder, at the start of the gospel meeting this evening, what way will you go this year? What path will you tread this year? We've read about two ways. What way will you go this year? We read about a wide gate, didn't we? We read about a wide gate. Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You know, there's two ways. There's two ways. There's the broad way, and there's the narrow road, and you can go in at the broad road any way you like. You know, the Bible talks about it as a broad road. It's easy to travel on this road. It's easy. You know, this is a road of easy living. It's a road of please yourself. It's a road of do whatever you like. And it's a road of whatever feels good, and no judgment from man. It's just, if that's what makes you feel good and makes you happy, well, just you go on ahead and you just do that, because that's what you want to do. You know, this is a road. The broad road is a road of believe whatever you like. You know, I had to laugh, and I'm sure I'll get a smile off my brother when I mention this chap. We were at work one day, and I've heard about these kind of people, and I hadn't really quite thought I might get to speak to one. But we were speaking to a chap about the gospel, and Nathan asked him, he said, well, what do you believe? And this chap turns to Nathan, he says, well, I believe in the universe, and I believe that if you think about something just hard enough, and your mind sends out messages to the universe, and the universe will send you back whatever it is that you want, and I just believe in the universe. And you know, we got quite a smile. Our first question to him was, well, why on earth are you in a factory in Leicester and not sat in the Bahamas, you know, sipping something out of a coconut and on a sun lounger? You know, this chap hadn't quite got it. He had all sorts of funny ideas about his life, and about where he was going, and about his final destination. He was all mixed up and all jumbled. He hadn't read the Bible. He hadn't found out what God said. He was on the broad road. You know, the broad road. There's all sorts of people on the broad road. There's all sorts of people gone in this broad way. But you know, what does the Lord Jesus say? What he says is of paramount importance. We need to pay attention to what he says. He says this: enter you. That's personal to you and to me. That means that nobody else can choose this way for you. This means that nobody else can decide to go through this way. That you have to do it for yourself. You know, enter you in at the straight gate, in the narrow gate, for wide is the way, and broad is the road, there's the way that leadeth to destruction. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said once, he said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said about himself. You know, he said, in that one statement, he did away with all the world's religions. He did away with all the systems of thinking. He did away with all the philosophies and the theologies of man. He swept them all away in one statement. I am the way, the one and only way to get to heaven. You know, sometimes we sing with the children in Sunday school, one way God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. You know, very simple words, but there's a whole lot of truth in those words. One way God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. You know, some people would say, well, you know, you Christians, it's just a little bit narrow-minded to think that way. It's just a little bit straight and a little bit square to be thinking like that. You need to open your... None of that, friend. You know, this isn't what I'm saying. This isn't an idea that I've come up with by myself. This is what the Word of God says. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. The Son of God, the one and only Son of God, says, I am the way. The one and only way. So we've thought of two ways. But there's two roads. These roads go somewhere. They have a destination. They have an end point, a goal in view. They go somewhere. And you know, there's lots of people travelling along these roads. Everybody in the world is on one of two roads. That's what the Bible says. You know, there's millions upon millions upon millions of people going along the broad road. Millions. There's celebrities of all kinds on this broad road. There's politicians and there's pop stars and sports people and footballers, and there's the rich and the wealthy on this road. There's the poor and those impoverished and those without too much money in their pocket. They're on the road. You know, we all start on this broad road. You know, there's millions and millions of people. You know, well, you sometimes would speak to people, or we sometimes speak to people and you say, well, and they would say to you, well, it's good enough for all these people. You know, I'm a little bit better than such and such a person. I'm not as bad as so and so. You know, we can't measure ourselves by other people's standards, because, you know, there's millions upon millions of people on planet Earth this evening. Even now, on the first day of 2017, going on down this broad road, that leads one place. It leads to one place and one place only, friend. The Bible says that this place leads to destruction. You know, there's only one way off of the broad road. It says here, doesn't it? It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. You know, as you go down this broad road, there's a narrow gate. There's a narrow way off to the side. And there's millions and millions of people that just walk on by. They're not interested in the gospel. They're not interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're quite happy as they are. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ stands there and he's inviting people onto this narrow way. In through this narrow gate. You know, as the gospel is proclaimed week by week from this place and from other places around the country, as the gospel goes out, the Lord Jesus Christ is inviting people off from that broad road, the broad road that leads to one place of destruction, and he invites people up onto the narrow road that leads. Notice where it leads. This road doesn't lead to destruction. It leads to life. It leads to life. You know, the only way to get onto that road, the only way to step foot off of the broad road and onto the narrow road, is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved from this road. You know, it says in the book of the Acts, in the Bible, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You know, we're all on this road because of a thing that we have called sin. You know, all of humanity starts on this road because all of humanity has the same issue. All of humanity has the same problem, a problem called sin. You know, there's always those things which we've done, which we just regret, which we just wish we could turn back the clock. You know, the Bible says this about humanity. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That puts us all in the same boat, then. That doesn't make me any better than you. That doesn't make anybody any better than the next person. That puts all of humankind, male and female, boys and girls, doesn't matter the language you speak, the colour of your skin, the country or continent you come from, we're all in the same situation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for that reason, we're all stepping down. We're all stepping, step after step, on this broad road that leads to destruction. You know, this evening, as you sit in your seat here in Leven, in Fife, you have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. You can choose to continue on down this broad road, or you can choose to take a step onto the narrow way that leads to life. I heard a quote not so long ago, and I wrote it down. I quite liked it. It says this. It says, you are free to choose but you are not free from the consequences of that choice. Just stop and think about that for a moment. You are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of that choice. If you choose the broad road today, if you walk out the back of the hall at the end of this gospel meeting after a year and sat down, and you haven't chosen Christ today, you're still stepping, step after step, you're walking your life down this broad road that leads where? It leads to destruction. And you can choose to go down the broad road, but you cannot choose, because you are not free from the consequences of that choice. The consequences of that choice are to end at the destination where that road ends. You know, we thought about two ways and two roads. Now we'll just think for a few minutes about two destinations. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want people to be ending up in destruction. He doesn't want people to be ending up in hell. You know, there's something that the Lord Jesus Christ did so that we, as sinners, as those who have offended God, as those who have sinned against Him, as those whose all the things that we think are good are just filthy rags, there's something that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us so that we don't have to go to His destruction. You know, if it was a Sunday school, we might ask the children, what has the Lord Jesus Christ done? You know, 2,000 years. You know, our calendar, even our calendar marks where the Lord Jesus Christ was in time. And you know, about 2,000 or so years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into time. And we remember it. We've remembered it recently as He came into time as a baby at Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling bands and laid in a manger in the humblest of beginnings. And his purpose in view, His purpose in life was that He might ever go to the cross. You know, Pilate, the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the judgment hall of Pilate. He said, "For this cause was I born, and to this end came I into the world." You know, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to Timothy, would be able to say, "This is a true and faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That was the reason He came. That He might go to, ultimately, to that place called Calvary. That He might go to the cross of Calvary and there give His life as a ransom for men and for women and boys and girls. You know, He went to the cross and men took Him, and they took Him and they whipped open His back. They lashed His back with a rough Roman whip. You know, the prophets could say that His back looked like a furrowed field. You know, Roman soldiers took the Lord Jesus Christ and they gripped His hair on His face and they ripped it out of His face. And they put a crown of thorns, a big thorny crown, and they put it on His head. And the agonies at the hands of man, they did because they hated Him. But you know, as they took Him and they led Him outside the city wall of Jerusalem, you know, He was born outside in an animal feeding trough. They had no time for Him in Bethlehem. And you know, at Calvary they had no time for Him. They sent Him outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And they took Him to a hill called Calvary. And they put rough Roman nails through His hands and through His feet. And they lifted Him up and left Him to die in the heat of the midday sun. You know, they did that there because they hated Him. But whilst He was on that cross, this is the amazing thing. This is what the gospel is about. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. In hours of darkness, God punished Him. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is perfect, the one who is holy, the one who is pure. The Bible says that He bore in His own body our sins on the tree. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ there, He bore our sins. Notice it doesn't say He bore His sins. You know, people that would walk outside the city of Jerusalem, they would look at these men on the crosses. It was a common sight in the day to see men on crosses, on crucifixes, being crucified for things that they had done wrong. And it was to execute wrongdoers. Notice it never says He bore His sins. You know, you will notice, as you trace the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this was a life that was different from every other man, from every other woman. You know, this was a life that pleased God. This was a life that was pure. And this was a life that was holy. You know, he never had anything to repent for. He had nothing ever to say sorry for. He never had to recall a word, or he never said something in the heat of the moment that later he regretted. This was the Holy Son of God. On a cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem, with nails through his hands and his feet, as God punished him on account of your sin and on account of my sin. And the reason he did it was so that you might be able to take that step off the broad road onto the narrow road. You know, on the cross he shed his blood. The blood that means that God can forgive us. The blood that means that we can be forgiven of our sins. The blood that means that we can be covered and we can take a step off the broad road and we can step onto the narrow road. He shed his blood and he died. And he was buried and he rose again the third day. So you know, the resurrection is a very key point of the gospel message. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that if Christ be not risen, then we're still in our sins. You know, it basically says that we're of all men most miserable. And our preaching is vain. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ is still in a tomb, outside Jerusalem, I'm wasting my time here. Ian is going to be wasting his time if he comes up into the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not the if of doubt. It's the if of since he's gone. He is gone, he's ascended. Then he can offer you salvation because he's alive. You know, a few of those at the back, especially Nathan and Kate, have heard me use this analogy a few times. That's okay because it's a good one and I like it. But you know, if you were in trouble and your house was on fire, I hope your house is never on fire, but if you would find your house on fire and you really needed somebody to come and help you, who would you not call? You wouldn't call a dead fireman. Why wouldn't you call a dead fireman? Because he couldn't do anything to help you. He couldn't climb the ladder and fetch you out of the window because he's dead. You need a living, alive fireman to help you out of the burning building. If you were on the side of the road, perhaps you've been hit by a car and you needed some medical help, who wouldn't you call? Well, you wouldn't call a dead paramedic because a dead paramedic can't do anything to help you because they've got no power, they can't get to you, they've got no ability to save you because they're dead. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ was dead, still dead, still in the tomb, not risen, he would have no ability to save us. But it's because he's alive, because he rose again the third day and he sat on the right hand of God, he has the ability and the power to be able to save each one of us. You know, he died, shed his blood, and rose again so that we might not go to destruction. You know, we read there, didn't we, in Mark chapter 9, sobering words about this place of destruction. And you know, in those verses it says that it's better to cut off your own hand than to enter into hell, or cut off your foot or pluck out your eye than to go into destruction, into hellfire. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He's not saying there that he's not sort of advocating self-mutilation, but what he is saying is this is so serious, this is so solemn, this is so sombering, that you don't go to this place. That it would be better if you had one hand or one foot or one eye and you didn't go there. You know what he was talking about, this place of destruction? You know, in Greek it also means waste. And what he was really referring to was a place outside the city of Jerusalem. It's called the Valley of Hinnom. It's Gehenna. And what he's saying, he's referencing a place outside that was basically the rubbish dump, the garbage heap, the pit outside Jerusalem. And everybody that he was speaking to on this occasion, they would have known where this place was. This wasn't a pleasant place. This wasn't a place you wanted to spend any amount of time. This was the refuse pit of Jerusalem that he was talking to, about this destruction. You know, it was always on fire. It was full of waste and putrefying matter. You know, if you have an animal that had died, you'd just toss it into this valley, and it would be stinking, and there would be the maggots and the worms, and it would be a horrible place. And if you weren't rich enough for a grave or a criminal, you'd just be tossed into this refuse pit, and it was the most disgusting place you could imagine. And the Lord Jesus Christ chooses that place to say, that's what hell's like. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't keep walking down this broad road that leads to that place, to destruction, to waste. He says, come on to the narrow road. And he's using that place as a picture of what hell will be like, what destruction will be like. You know, it'll stink there. We read about the worms there. I wonder if you've ever asked yourself the question, who will be there? You know, we read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, it says this. It tells us a few of the people that will be there. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, there's people there that you wouldn't like to meet. There'll be criminals in hell. There'll be criminals in the lake of fire. There will be murderers in the lake of fire. There will be liars and adulterers and fraudsters. There will be violent men. There will be adulterers and fornicators and drunkards in hell. There will be people in hell, unrestrained, that you and I would be afraid to be left alone with in a room. They will all be there. The devil will be there. The beast will be there. The false prophets will be there. We read that in Revelation. Unrestrained, unrestricted, they'll be there. Can I tell you who else will be there? There will be in the lake of fire, there will be in hell, good people, and that's sad. There will be people who have lived a religious life. There will be people who have tried their best, and they've gone to church, and they've said the Hail Marys, and they've done what they could do, and they've gone to confession, or they've gone to Mecca, or they've done all the things that their religion tells them to do. But you know, that's not what God wants. He wants faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll be there. There'll be people who have lived good lives and tried to help the poor and given to charity. And if they haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they'll be there. Do you know the saddest category of people, I think, will be in hell? The saddest group of people that will be find themselves in the lake of fire. The ones who will be the most shocked to open their eyes in eternity are the people who are nearly saved. I think that's tragic. I don't know about you, friend, but I find that to be the most tragic thought. To think that there are people who have heard the way of salvation. To think that there are people that have heard the gospel message. That Christ is the only Saviour for sinners. That Christ is the only way to heaven. That Christ is the only way that your sins can be forgiven. That you can be right with God. But know it. The ones that are nearly saved. The ones that maybe think, I'll do it next week. I'll do it the week after. I'll come to the gospel meeting and I'll hear this message again. You know, I think they're the most tragic people because we know not what a day will bring. You know, there's people that intend to be in this world for a long time. And life ends for them very suddenly. You know, not so long ago, news came to us that our cousin was driving a car. He was coming back from Oxford. Late one night, his car swerved off the road. He hit a bus stop. And at the age of 28 years old, he was in eternity. He knew the gospel. Friend, you're hearing tonight another opportunity to trust Christ as your Saviour. You're having another opportunity to get right with God. You're having another opportunity to have your sins forgiven. To hear this glorious message that you might go to heaven, that you might go to life, to be with Him. Don't ignore it. Don't neglect it. The writer to the Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, Ian's going to come up in a minute. I'm going to sit down just in a few moments. And we're telling you how you can escape from this place. That you can escape the destruction, escape the waste, and go to life. Don't neglect this great salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ offers to you today. You know, I looked up the stats, and apparently, 102 people on average every moment take a step from life into eternity. 102 every minute. That's about 155,000 people every day worldwide who step into eternity. That is about the population of Newbury or Gloucester that step into eternity every single day. It's so great. You know, we just don't know what tomorrow holds. We just cannot see what tomorrow has for us. We stand here on the 1st of January and we look out onto 2017 as it stretches out ahead of us. And yes, we may well make plans to do certain things. But not one of us can guarantee the next breath going into our lungs, the next beat of our hearts is in the hand of God. You know, if you're hearing the gospel message tonight, George said, as he opened up, he said, this might be the last. It's true, man. It's solemn. It's sobering. But I don't make any apology for it, so it's in the Word of God. You know, there are those who are going to life. You know, it's so great to know that you're on the way to life. That you are going to glory. That you're going to eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ who died to save you. And it's very real and very possible that you may know Him too. Do you know, there are those who will be letting out the first of everlasting screams. And there are those this evening who will be letting out the very first of everlasting song. Those that have opened their ear to hear the anthems of heaven. Friend, is it going to be you tonight? Are you sure of your destination, of where you will spend eternity? Thank you.
One verse of scripture, please, from the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, chapter 3. The gospel is being preached tonight. I'd just like to read one verse in the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 14, and it is this. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. We're into 2017. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. I never really thought when I was a young lad we'd reach 2017. You know, there was a book going around at the time, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, and we all thought the Lord would maybe come in 1984. We didn't really know. We never thought it would stretch this far, but it is. It stretched this far. The day of grace has reached 2017, and the door of mercy has been opened. The acceptable year of our Lord has gone on to 2017, but you just get the feeling in the world events and the things that are happening that the day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord You know, the day of the Lord will commence exactly after the coming of the Lord. This is the day of grace. This is the day of opportunity. This is man's day. But the day of the Lord will commence after the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will come to thee. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. And there are things that are happening in the world. You know, we don't need any prophecies to be fulfilled before the Lord comes. John says, if he tarry, the Lord Jesus says, if he tarry till I come, and he could have come at that time, and we're all just waiting and watching, and some are many are working until the Lord Jesus is coming again. He might come tonight. He might come tonight. He might come, that assembling shout, and give that shout, and the dead in Christ rise, and those which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a tragedy to be left behind. What a tragedy to be left behind. To go through the door, and the neighbour to be out, and the friend to be out, and the granny that's told you about the gospel, and the left, where are they going? And we'll be saying, the Lord's come. You see, folks say, we won't know, but it says about Enoch, he was not found, for God took him. And so they were looking for him. They were looking for him. They were looking for Enoch. They want that picture of the church that was taken. He was taken home to heaven. He walked with God and was taken home to heaven. And there will be many people who will be wondering, where's that godly neighbor? Where's that godly friend and that godly sister and godly brother that's helped them? And they'll be left behind. What a tragedy to be left behind. You know, Barack Obama, the United States president, he's going out. This is his time up. He'll be finishing the job on the 20th of January, and there'll be a new president will be coming in. One of the things he did was he passed this legislation recently so that there will be no drilling of oil in in Alaska, in that region. And that's something that, whatever your opinion of it, is that's what he's passed, that there will be no drilling of oil to save the environment. But very, very significant, last week, the United Nations and the John Kerry, the Secretary of State, they withheld their support for Israel. And they withheld their support for Israel. And the whole lot of the United Nations, they all passed this, that the Palestinians would have the land. And, you know, just when you think about it, they're all against Israel. Egypt stands in the United Kingdom's against them. And they're all there. And then Benjamin Netanyahu and the defense minister, and they're saying, all the Jews in Paris and all the Jews in France, come home. Come home, you'll be safe in this land. You remember what it says in Isaiah 43. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth. And the scripture says, when the fig tree begins to blossom, you know that summer is nigh. In 1948, they went back into the land. And now, in 2017, they're the object of ridicule by so many nations in the world today. And the fig tree is beginning to blossom. Very soon, the Lord will be taking up Israel again. He'll be using them. They're his chosen people. They're the apple of his eye. What about you tonight, friend, in the gospel? All these signs, all the tragedies, all the catastrophes, are you saved? Are you saved? The Lord will come. The book of Joel, the minor prophet, with a major message. He says, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. Much as the gospel goes on here, week after week, month after month, year after year. That's why there's gospel meetings, children's meetings, all types of meetings that men and women and boys and girls might hear of the flight and might be saved. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you've heard the message of the cross. There's two ways, only one way to heaven. Jesus is the way, as our brother has preached tonight. Trust him. Make him your own. Make him your personal. Blow the trumpet. Joel says again, blow the trumpet, call a solemn assembly, sanctify a fast. The world's going on. Noah, as in the days of Noah, they eat, they drank. As in the days of what, it's all going on, just without God and without hope. What about you in the internet, friend? It's persons that are in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's names. Is your name written there? In those pages, bright and fair, is your name written in the Book of Life? Have you been saved, friend? Has there been a day in your life when you've trusted the Lord Jesus? What a day is going to be. Alas, Joel says, for the day of the Lord is at hand. What a day that will be. The great and terrible day of the Lord. Another prophet says, it is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. The great and terrible day of the Lord. What a terrible place to be in this year after the Lord's taken the church home. After he's called home those that are saved. What a place to be in, to be left behind. I trust that you'll make the Lord Jesus yours. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. Be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find the open gate, and you'll cry to just to wait. Be in time. Be in time. This is the start of the new year. New Year's resolution. What a better resolution could you have than to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Valley of Decision is not a nice place to be, you know. It's not a nice place to be in the Valley of Decision. You have no peace, you have no hope, you have no joy, you have no happiness. Decide for Christ. Make them your own. Be converted. Ye must, the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Ye must. It's the must that matters most. Ye must be born again. The Valley of Decision. What a place to be. All those years, I remember as a boy, no peace, no rest, until I decided, until I reached it, and realized it from the Word of God. How shall they call then in him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? Friend, in the meeting tonight, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He that hath ears to hear, the Scripture says, let him hear. If you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you tonight, friend, accept him as your own. He died upon the cross. The way of salvation has been made offer for all. It's offer for all. It's free. It's a full and a free salvation through faith in Jesus' name. What a valley that was, the Valley of Elah. You remember David, the young boy, went out to fight Goliath with one smooth stone, and he faced that man with six fingers and six toes, a picture of the Antichrist. And you know, friend, when I used to be a little boy, I thought, this 666, you'll never, it's on the barcodes, it's on the supermarkets, there will be no need of money shortly. You're taking the card and you're passing it through the till. It'll soon be the mark of the beast, friend. The day of the Lord is near. It is near. And hasteth greatly. The valley of the shadow of death. Oh, friend, in the meeting tonight. The pop stars, they pass away. The film stars, they pass away. There's been a few of them over this New Year period. They've lived for themselves all their life and they're out of it now. Friend, in the meeting tonight. Death's no respecter of persons. As we hear our brother preach tonight, the young and the old, the papers are full of it. Make sure of one thing. Make sure they get saved. Make sure they get saved. What an offer of mercy coming from heaven tonight. Coming from the Lord Jesus who died to save you. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What an offer of mercy. The Savior of the world. He's coming again. He'll stand in that valley of Megiddo. The battle of Armageddon. All these terrible and catastrophic things that will come upon this year. These things will happen, friend. Jerusalem, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the nations. And you can see it. The United Nations. The countries, America taking their support back, Egypt siding, they're all against Israel. They're going to be left themselves, friend. I bet the Lord will come in that moment. And the battle of Armageddon will commence. And friend, they'll go through the judgment that this earth deserves, a righteous judgment of God. And as we heard from our brother tonight, friend, if you're not saved, you'll go through it. You'll be part of it. The day of the Lord is near, and hasteth greatly. The day of the Lord. You know, when there's a jailer in Philippi, and there's an earthquake, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they spake unto him the word of the Lord: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What an offer of mercy! What an offer of mercy! Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We can't do anything more for it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter where you're from. There's a preacher from England tonight. There's a preacher from Scotland tonight. From the north to the south. From the lands of east and west. The gospel message is the brightest and the best. Jesus came at his Father's own request to save poor sinners who are dying. Friend, I'm a sinner. Are you a sinner? I'm a sinner. But Jesus died for me. Tell him as you're on tonight. Make sure of heaven. That's your destiny. The straight way. There's plenty of room to turn in the broad road. There's plenty on it. Going to Edinburgh these days, you can't get moved for people. How many of them are going down to hell in the lake of fire? Make sure you're saved, friend. At the start of life, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. At the end of life, the Lord will still take you. He'll still take you. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. We come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. I wonder tonight, friend, if this could be the first night of the year and you're going home like that man and telling your friends the great things that the Lord has done for you. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the message of salvation. We thank thee that tonight boys and girls, men and women can be saved the wide world over by trusting in the Lord Jesus who died for them upon the cross at Calvary. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee that it's full and it's a free salvation through faith in Jesus' name. We thank thee for this assembly. Pray thy blessing upon all who are here. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing a hymn before we go. Two four eight, the first and the last verse. Passing onwards, quickly passing, but I ask thee, whither bound? Is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? Passing onward, tell me, sinner, whither bound? The first and the last verses after the introduction will stand of 248. Thank you.